It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the fourth chapter of the book of Jonah, Jonah chapter 4, the last and final chapter. Please open your Bibles to Jonah chapter 4. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us, our phone number here is 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, it's Parkview Bible Church. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. Very simple. Please that you would check the site out. I think that you would enjoy it. We have many Bible studies that I hope that you can come to know the Lord Jesus and then grow in the Lord Jesus as you would study those and enjoy them. Also, we have our Constitution and Plan of Salvation there, so please that you would look those that site up and enjoy it. I hope it's a blessing to you. If you would like to email us, it would be parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and hope that you're able to open your Bible and read along. If you're traveling, just listen carefully and please enjoy it. Jonah chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. The Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd, but God prepared a worm. And when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd, that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat up on the head of Jonah, that he fainted, and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 70,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle? Quite a place for it to end, isn't it? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you that we can enjoy this precious book. It is such a joy to open it, to enjoy it, to fellowship over it. It's a precious, precious book, as each book, each chapter, each verse through this wonderful, wonderful book, the Bible you've given us. You know, Father, how I love the old King James. Stay with it. It's just seen millions and millions of people through the years get saved through that. And I know, Father, so many today go to their other versions, their other ways. It's all much easier to understand. Father, I'm afraid they're missing it when they have left and went into another writing another book other than this old King James that you've blessed us with. But please, Father, just guide and lead us today. Direct us through your precious word. Just make it so clear and so simple for us. Bring people to you, to your Son, the Lord Jesus, that they would be saved. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We know in the last studies we've had that this great city of Nineveh, and it's been estimated that somewhere between 600,000 and 800,000 people between the main city of Nineveh, the capital, and then the suburbs that are on each side of it, what a number of people. And it would seem from the greatest to the smallest repented of their sin and turned to the coming Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessed revival. What a prayer that we need to have for this nation that we live in. This great, great country needs so desperately for folks to repent of their sin, turn to the Lord Jesus as their Savior, and be saved, and then begin to be led by God through His precious Word, by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that lives within our hearts. A great revival took place. Wonderful revival took place. It was so wonderful that they turned as the opportunity. We've read the verses of Scripture. God did not change His mind. He gives an opportunity. As we've said before, the wages of sin is death. We are sinners. We should die. But because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a way of avoiding that penalty, that judgment, by the opportunity of coming by faith to Jesus, being saved, and then living eternally with Him because He has paid the price. These folks, some 800 and almost 900 years before Jesus died on the cross, but as all the Old Testament folks, they look forward to the coming of the Messiah. We look back to a finished work, but they look forward because they knew the promise was true, as we know God's Word is true. If you come by faith to Jesus, be saved, what a wonderful day. These folks did just that. They accepted the words that Jonah said. They accepted the fact that we're going to be destroyed in 40 days. We better do something about it. And God, please, please, would you turn from your wrath and have mercy upon us. And as the words continue, as it says here in verse 2 of chapter 3, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. And that preaching, of course, was back in the second verse, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before us. They were told what to do. And he, we know, fled, ran away in the fish 3 days and three nights. And when we come back and we find that the promise of the 40 days of destruction that's going to come, what a sad, sad promise to a land that is so wicked that has only been given 40 days. But as we said earlier, that 40 days is the words of mercy. If God could have destroyed them immediately, but He didn't. And we have here in verse 4 of chapter 3, Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Well, that's the mercy. They had 40 days to figure out what to do. How much time do you have to figure out what to do? Do you have 40 days? God promises them 40 days or gives them 40 days, but I don't believe that you know whether you have 40 days or not. I know that you don't. because God sets a day to be born and a day to die, and those two dates we have nothing to do with. They are in God's hands. And so you better prepare. This city of Nineveh, whether young or old, they just pleaded with God to have mercy on us. Please have mercy. Well, mercy was shown to begin with, giving them 40 days. Didn't just destroy them. They were so, so wicked. And yet God chose not to destroy them. And because of their turning, and that's what you and I have to do, God did not bring this judgment upon them. What happened to Jonah? It displeased Jonah? That thousands upon thousands of people have repented and turned to the Messiah that's coming? And yet, Jonah was not happy? How can this be? What do you remember? I think we said that Jonah hated these people. Why did he hate these people? Did he hate these people because of their wickedness and their sin? No, I don't believe so. I think the reason he hated them because they was Gentiles. They were a great enemy to the Jew. They hated each other. But isn't it something that this Jew, Jonah, walked in amongst them and proclaimed judgment, and they believed him? They believed him. Jonah should have been so taken by that miracle for him to make this statement. Why didn't the Ninevites just take him out and stone him to death? You're not going to talk to me that way. You know, that's exactly what they could have done. Many times, as we back through history and we come up into the time of the New Testament, when Jesus was walking upon the earth, when Paul and Barnabas and Peter, when they were preaching the Word of God and telling the truth that the Messiah had come, they would literally run them out of town. In Acts, they even stoned Paul for dead, took him out of the city and dumped him off. But who did that? It wasn't the Gentiles. Now, a couple of times he stirred up the educated women, I guess you could say, or the influential women. That would be a better word. Those of high society. They went and stirred them up, and then the men, important men like mayors and the governor and the city council, got them stirred up, and then the people joined in, both Gentile and Jew alike. But the Jews always started it. And here's a Jew that comes out against his will. He doesn't want to, and he proclaims this message: in 40 days you're going to be destroyed. In 40 days, you're going to be destroyed. And seeing that, in 40 days, you're going to be destroyed, it's hard to imagine that with that, you would ask the Lord to have mercy. You would ask the Lord please, I know they're wicked, I know they're Gentiles, but God have mercy on them. Well, it seems that Jonah was just the opposite. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. He was very angry, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Isn't it something that it appears that Jonah knew God well enough? I mean, Jonah's saved. Did Jonah know God well enough that if he would bring that word over and if they would turn, that God would not destroy them? It seems that that's the opposite thing that Jonah wanted to do, that wanted God to do, was to have any kind of mercy on these people. And when God did have mercy on them, Jonah was angry. Jonah was mad. Why? Why was Jonah mad? What was the problem here in Jonah's life that he wasn't excited about one of the greatest revivals that has ever taken place? What's the matter with Jonah's heart? Do you have anybody that you don't think deserves salvation? Let alone a whole countryside like this kind of number that we're talking about. You know, hundreds of thousands of people. That you would rather see perish than be saved? What's the matter with Jonah's heart? How cold can you be? There was such a hatred between this country and this land and these peoples that Jonah had no desire to even give them the opportunity of God showing mercy. What happens when the word of God's proclaimed? It gives the opportunity of the Spirit of God to take His word and penetrate the heart of a sinner. And once that sinner decides that I know I'm a sinner and I know I need salvation, and then the Spirit of God directs you and brings you right to the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's your Savior. Trust in Him today. And all you have to do is say yes, and He will save you. Is there anyone that you hate so much that you wouldn't love to see their heart convicted and them accepting Jesus and the mercy be shown to them? Well, you better be careful, because there was a time. If you're born again today, if you're saved today, there was a time when you were in that same position. You were lost. You were condemned. You were dying. You were dead in your sin. Not dying. You were dead in your sin. Totally separated from God. Until someone brought the Word of God to you. You heard it and you accepted it. That Jesus is my Savior, and you were saved, rescued from judgment. That's exactly what these people did. Jonah took the word in. Isn't it something, again, how that they accepted the word of God? They accepted Jonah, a Jew, to come in and tell them, in 40 days you're going to die. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever considered that this situation that Jonah was in, that he chose to go into this city? They could, again, have taken him and stoned him to death and thrown him out into the garbage pile, because they could have done that. They wouldn't have given it a thought. So how did Jonah have the opportunity and the strength to go to this city and to do it? Only by God's hand. He was not in the mood of doing it. You know, we get in the mood to do something. We should never do that. But he got into the mood of not. He didn't want to go. He didn't want to go. But God prepared a great fish. After 3 days and three nights, spit him back out. Jonah, the word of the Lord came again to him. doesn't really tell us what Jonah's condition is at that time. It just says after he was vomited out upon dry land in verse 10 of chapter 2, in chapter 3, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time, arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. And Jonah arose. And so you see, we don't really know what Jonah was thinking when he was spit back out of this big monstrous fish onto dry land. We don't know his condition, but we know immediately that the word of the Lord came to him again. Now, Jonah, now what are you going to do? Now what are you going to do? So he received that same command as he received the first time. You see, God is a God of the second chance. Jonah tried his best to run away. But here's his second chance. The second chance to come and to serve the Lord. Do you need a second chance? Are you to that place that you have been running away from the Lord and abandoned him and left him? Maybe you've decided to go to some liberal church that doesn't preach the word and you're pretty content there, but from hearing these words, the Spirit is convicting your heart that maybe I'm not where I should be. I'm not doing what I should be doing. And so, God, please have mercy on me. We don't have the words of that here in chapter 3, but we do have them in an earlier part. As you look in verse 7 of chapter 2, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came unto thee and to the holy temple, and they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So you see, he did come back. He did plead with the Lord while he was still in the fish's belly. And God heard him. God gave him a second chance. And that time he went. He proclaimed the word. But we find his heart was not completely turned around, was it? But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. God, I knew you were going to do this. Why do you think I didn't want to come? Because when I got here and I proclaimed your word, see what happened. They have repented and you have turned from your wrath and you're not going to destroy them. Now, you see, God, why I didn't want to come, Jonah's saying. Do you see why I did not want to come and proclaim your word? Because I knew this would happen. What's wrong with Jonah's heart? How excited do you get when somebody gets saved? Or how long has it been since you've seen someone get saved? I love watching people trust in Jesus. They accept him as their Savior. Some begin immediately to serve and others don't. Those that don't serve may have to go through something similar to what Jonah went through to get their attention. Some of them will miss all the blessings of their life because they're so busy with the world and the things of the world, and they're not setting their life upon serving the Lord. And just like Jonah here, Jonah's missing all those blessings. He could have had thousands and thousands and thousands of blessings, but instead of that, he was mad. God, I knew you was going to have mercy and forgive these people. I knew it. And that's the reason I did not want to come. Now, you would have thought the reason that Jonah didn't want to come is because he knew how evil these people were. Maybe he was concerned for his life. And he did not want to come and risk his life to proclaim the word. Doesn't seem like it's that at all. He just plain didn't want these people saved. He did not want to show them the word of God because then they would listen and then God would have mercy on them, and here we are. Oh, so sad. So sad to see a prophet of God, Jonah, that he was displeased with the result. Oh, if Jonah would have heard what God was going to do, was going to turn his wrath away from them, and Jonah could have stayed and continued to teach them God's word. If he would have done that, it's possible that the Assyrians, years later, would not have come and taken the 10 tribes, the 10 northern tribes, out of Israel, from Israel, and take them captive. So you see, Jonah, instead of praising God for what has happened, and then looking at that and working and proclaiming and sharing, God would have continued to give him his word, and he could have continued to grow these people closer and closer to the Messiah that was to come, and it would have been such a great and glorious day. Instead of that, Jonah hated these people so much. And I'm sorry, there's not a peoples in the world that I wouldn't love to see turn their heart and their eyes to Jesus. There's not an enemy. I can't imagine anyone that I would not want to see saved. I can't imagine anyone that when I heard what was happened, that I wouldn't rejoice and fall on my knees and say, "Oh, dear Father, you're such a merciful God. You have brought these people through your word, through the Spirit of God. You've brought them to you. Oh, I just praise you and I thank you for that." I can't imagine a soul, a single individual, or a nationality of peoples that I would not praise the Lord for if they would get saved. There is not a person that is so wicked that I desire that they go to hell. I desire that everyone that is hearing these words will repent and turn to the Lord Jesus and be saved. Jesus will take your sin away today. Please trust in him. Instead of that, we find Jonah, again, as I've read several times, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly. He was very angry. He prayed unto the Lord, said, "I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country?" It appears that he has seen the power of God before. It seems as though that maybe this has happened to Jonah another time that's not recorded for us. That he has proclaimed the word and folks got saved. Has he seen the power of God work? Have you seen the power of God work? Jonah walked in as one individual. He walked halfway into this city and he proclaimed judgment on them. He didn't say, "If you don't trust in the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus, if you don't trust in him today, in 40 days, God's going to destroy you." He didn't say that. He just plain point blank said, "In 40 days, God's going to pass judgment on you, and he's going to destroy every single one of you." And it appears like in his heart and his mind, he is saying, "Good riddance. I am so pleased that this is going to take place, finally." But you see, it appears down here in the first and second chapter, or first and second verse of chapter 4, it has the appearance that Jonah knew what was going to happen, and he didn't want it to. He despised these people so much. How can this man be a prophet of God? God chose to send him out. It was a test. He wanted to see Jonah. "I want you to go and preach to these people. I want you to share the gospel with these Gentiles. And then I want you to rejoice over the victory that's going to be won." But Jonah did, finally. went, preached, result came, but he is not happy. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?